Monday. It's the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan, Justin and Ailish. The Stanley Cup playoffs begin tonight. We made it. Meaningful hockey starts. Puck drop 7 p.m. Not the Leafs, though. Everybody else. We still got another day.
How do you feel about that? Do you want the Leafs? I'm okay with the ramp-up process.
I want to watch a little bit tonight.
We've been waiting through 82 games and all these meaningless...
What's another day, right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, we got lots of time over the next 2 days to tee up the start of the Toronto Maple Leafs playoff ventures.
That's another thing. It's a content day for us.
We got lots going on.
When I saw the Monday start, I was like, what? We don't even get to talk about it 2 days before? At least we got one day.
We have Frank Saravelli at 7 and Dave Andrechuk joining us at 8. Of course, he is a current Lightning TV analyst, along with being a Hockey Hall of Famer, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll talk about how the Lightning are feeling coming into tomorrow's start, game one of the Toronto Maple Leafs Lightning playoff march. Frank will give us a little bit of a rundown on a couple things that happened in terms of coaches on their way out. Big shakeups happening, especially with the Pittsburgh Penguins. You might have a little tidbit on the relationship between Dubas and Shanahan.
Yeah, we buried the lead a little bit there. I think that's an interesting point. We'll get into it with Frank at 7 a.m. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting stuff. Good timing there from Frank.
And then we are returning our Maple Leafs tarot reading. So if you missed that previously.
Back by popular demand or just...
Just back.
Yeah, we will see what the clairvoyants have to say about the Maple Leafs and whether or not this will be different this time around. We'll do that in the A-list, maybe an extended A-list slightly, because we have to have time to, you know, properly connect with the spirits that be.
We are calling them now. Please be available for 640 Spirit Land.
Yeah, wake up. Wakey, wakey, spirits.
We're waiting. All right. And then at 7:30, we usually do our winners and losers. We're going to... do a little playoff simulation. We're going to fill out our brackets. We're going to take a look around the league, make some predictions later in the day today, in real life day. I am going to allow for Bunker to choose his own bracket. The Bunker bracket will be
posted.
That
didn't happen over the weekend, eh?
No, it was a little busy. We had a little...
bit of a chaotic weekend for you?
I had a little chaotic moment. Bunker ate some of the bath mat. It's
a tasty bath mat.
And I was a little worried about his little tummy, but we're all good. He's a puppy. He's got those teeth that could rip through whatever you want.
He's a puppy doing puppy things.
You want to eat the couch? Go for it. You want to eat the
bath mat and the couch are two different things for sure.
You can't, has you he can't been gnawing look on the elsewhere. Couch? The dog has gone on the couch. Yeah.
Is he gnawing on the couch?
No. He isn't gnawing on anything except the bath mat last night or yesterday afternoon with no, like, he had never gone over there to sniff it out. All of a sudden, I went in there, and he had the bath mat upside down. And he was eating the foam and the plastic, and I freaked out because it's the first time it's happened as a dog mom. But we're all good.
Be all right.
It found its way out of the body.
They are a Brazilian bunch. It's amazing how what they'll get into and how little it seems to affect them in the end. I know there's obviously cause for concern when it happens,
yes,
but
it was like a mouthful. It wasn't like he ate the whole bath mat because there's you can see those pretty serious.
The whole bath mat could be problematic.
Emergency vet visits. I did call the emergency vet and I explained it to them. Like I was like, it's my first time. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, should I bring him in? And then she's like, okay, like how much did he eat? I'm like, maybe a mouthful. She's like, you should be fine, but monitor. So, monitored, little Bunker's good. He's ready to make his bracket today.
Okay, perfect.
He'll be a hungry boy for some treats. I'm not going to put the bath mat there as a deciding factor. But he'll run to, I'll have both of the teams laid out on the ground.
Leafs, Lightning, or bath mat?
Who's the winner? And he'll run to whichever team first in his gut. So it's a day of intuition and feeling between the tarot readings and Bunker's brackets, so stay tuned.
And then we'll be like slightly more serious tomorrow when we figure out exactly what needs to happen for the Maple Leafs to finally get over the hump. And if the Lightning truly are, dare I say, washed?
Oh my God, Justin. You're really messing with the spirits now.
No. We're not going to ask them that outright because that seems a little blunt for the spirits. But we'll see. We'll see where they're at. I don't know if it's they or... a one person. I don't know exactly who we'll be connecting with, but we'll be connecting with the higher powers, and they'll let us know exactly what's going to happen with the Leafs and the Lightning.
And then tomorrow, we will also take your calls. We did this last week. We're going to continue it. Maple Leafs version. The playoffs are starting. You'll get to call in, let us know your thoughts and feelings, your vibes, a vibe check, the energy, the confidence rankings. We'll chat tomorrow, so just keep that in mind. Probably be around the 7:30 time as well. So if you're driving in, you're listening on the pod now, tomorrow, if you want to have your voice heard, you want to chat with us about the Maple Leafs, you get that opportunity. So we'll tee that up tomorrow, but just a early reminder to get that locked in your calendars and your alarm clock set to call in tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. Opening the phone line's always fun. No better occasion to do it than the morning of game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And hopefully
we can do it, I don't know, maybe teeing up around two, but we'll see how far we get.
We will have another phone call opportunity.
There will be at least one more.
But we're hoping that that's not for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean.
Or at least the negative one, not for a long time.
Yes. Okay, so with all that, this weekend I got to go to sad one last night, Canada-USA Women's World Final. After seeing Canada win in a shootout last week in the round robin against the United States, this atmosphere got even better. It was absolutely, I said this last night, one of the best experiences, like momentum going into the arena, the vibe, the fans, the energy. This was even better, of course, gold medal game. They had like 15 extra parking lots made out in the grass because I told you about how bad it was last time. Maybe they're listening, but they did work on the grass parking lot areas, but still, nonetheless, parking. It's one kind of the low points.
Yeah, but like it doesn't make any sense to me unless there was like other tournaments because there's four pads in that rink. Maybe there were other things going on, but it seems like, I don't know, it's not the biggest arena for capacity.
Oh, it was jam-packed.
There must have been other things going on there. Which is a nightmare. Imagine that you're just trying to go to practice or trying to like play a beer league game and there's just, you know, there's a women's world championship like happening in the same parking lot. And
children.
It's impossible to leave. Yeah, 6,000 children just buzzing around.
But anyway, so yeah, kind of tough one. Canada loses. They kind of blew a 3-2 lead in the third period. Circumstances including lots of power plays for the United States. And a heartbreaker. Tough to be there. I was really excited to be able to celebrate with the girls, but nonetheless, a hard-fought victory. The United States were the better team this tournament. I felt a little bit worried going into yesterday's game. I was talking to Haley Salvian, friend of the show, about it, and just watching the way Canada had a really, really great round-robin game against the United States, but then their quarters and their semis, they did not look as dominant as I had hoped. Americans looked like they were building off maybe that loss, and they came in with a little bit of extra juice at the end of the game, but it was a similar back and forth game. Canada had the ice tilted for a lot of it when they got on the board first. It was obviously Poulin opens up the scoring like she does, but the United States found a way to rally back, and with not a lot of time left in the third period, it started slipping away, and it was hard to watch.
So it's kind of uncharacteristic, right, of Team Canada. Like, it's always crazy, right? We're always going to get dramatics. We might go to extra time. We might go to shootouts, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's usually pretty, I wouldn't say unpredictable, but the storylines are never, we're never short on storylines. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Canada kept going ahead, it was just like, oh, okay. Like, eventually they're going to salt this away. Like, you kind of think, okay, we're going to get one of those crazy finishes.
No,
maybe this goes
to
overtime.
Oh, there's no way this is over.
But Canada continuing to take the lead. It was just like they had the answer every time the United States had the answer. A little uncharacteristic for Canada to keep coughing up those leads.
Yeah.
And I wonder, at least big picture, and I want to get your take on this, is like, okay, the United States, they kind of rebuilt a little bit, kind of brought in some new talent. They let go of an old guard for lack of a better statement or lack of a better term. Is it time for Canada to kind of refresh this roster a little bit?
No, it's not. I think that yesterday, so the pre-tournament storylines that I brought up with you was that United States went young. They swept out and they got a lot of new faces, a lot of first time.
And you don't think that could benefit Canada at all?
Well, the storyline yesterday was veteran Hillary Knight with a hat trick. And so that storyline that
I'm not saying cut Marie-Philippe
Poulin. No. I'm saying that I thought that was going to be more of a significant reasoning behind why USA would be victorious. And it really came down to the pros being pros. Poulin scoring, Brianne Jenner scoring, Hillary Knight getting a hat trick. It's the vets that really led this team once again. I don't think Canada's there yet of needing to rebuild. They were going for back-to-back-to-back world championship gold medals.
I'm not saying rebuild, but this team has been together for a long time.
And it's been working. They just won two golds and an Olympic gold all within like 1.5 calendar years.
It has been working, but like once it stops working, which it has, like this was not a great tournament for Canada. Mm. Right? Like it wasn't. They had difficulty separating themselves, as you mentioned, in quarterfinal and semifinal action. Yeah. They lost to the United States in the gold medal game. They needed a shootout to get past the United States the first time. Like it wasn't clean as it has been before. And I wonder, like, is there a next wave? Is there going to be change by the time they play in the Olympics next?
Oh, just definitely.
The status of this team. And exactly, is it another 2 year cycle? Where is this team going to be?
Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly things will change in 2 years. There are a lot of young kids coming out of college. There's a lot of kids that will be peaking at this time. It's all about that, right? And I think a lot of the girls on both sides and in tournament wide have been holding on, waiting for this league that they want to play in. Think about it. All the players that we just saw on the ice yesterday have been playing one tournament weekend secret dream gap for the PWHPA, a month maybe.
What is the, for those who don't know, and I don't, so you can enlighten me, like how do they stay sharp?
Exactly.
Are they practicing weekly? Are they all in Calgary all the time? Like
There are training hubs. There's Toronto, there's Montreal, there's multiple. I think there's like six across Canada and some in the United States. So they're practicing all the time against each other. And then they play in these once a month showcase tournaments somewhere, which is usually two games, a Friday game and a Saturday game, or a Saturday game and a Sunday game, two games. So you're hoping that the best players in the world can stay at world championship level, where you're going to play six games or five games over a week and a half span at the highest level. It's really tough to hold that level of college play, that level of playing in a professional league anywhere when you're playing one or two games a month. So I think, and you know, there's the rumblings that there's going to be a league announced shortly. If that's the case, just think about how much better these players can be with regular play. Like when I played in the CWHL, we played hockey games every weekend. Yes. Every single weekend we played in the highest level of competitive games that you could play in. Practiced three times a week. You were fully a hockey player first, it felt like, even though you had
on a hockey team hockey team things constantly.
Even though you had to have like two other jobs to sustain yourself, you were still playing hockey all the time. So I do think that if you look at Canada, United States, I think it can look completely different next year, because if there's a league and there's people playing, think about the kids coming out of university. They can sustain that level that they're playing every single day. Like you're on the ice every day in college, right?
How does Canada and the United States, like how do you separate their preparation? Like the United States in the exact same boat where they have hubs and they have those weekend games.
Yeah, they're all
every
a part of the PWHPA.
Everyone's a part of the exact same thing.
Yeah, so now, both sides of the ice are dealing with the same thing.
We expected not that we expected an announcement yesterday, but everyone's been talking about this new league and whether it's connected to the World Championship, whether it's before, after, during. Is there any surprise that we didn't heard anything yet?
No. I think that's probably right to wait till the tournament had wrapped up and to continue the momentum. If you drop that,
they had the moment, they had the spotlight.
They don't need to share the spotlight with a new league. If they announce the league this week, that continues the momentum in the conversation another week long.
I think. But eyeballs are eyeballs. That's why I was surprised. I thought we were going to see something.
No, I'm really glad they didn't, because this is about the world championship. It's not about you. No,
but women's hockey.
But they're not tied together. This isn't a double IHF league. This is a league that has nothing to do with Team Canada and Team USA. This is a professional women's hockey league.
I understand mm-hmm. that, but like it would have been if they could have done that. I mean, a lot of people watching, not much on yesterday. The NBA playoffs obviously underway, and that's something that could get your eyeballs. But a lot of people were tuned into that game yesterday, and a lot of people would have been there to see said announcement. Mm-hmm. But again, if it's not tied, if there's, you know, there's conflict of interest, whatever, like I understand all that. But I did expect something over the course of the last 2 weeks, and you know, we're still waiting on that announcement.
I think it makes sense to wait to this upcoming week where you could have the announcement standalone.
Okay.
Because they aren't tied together, and what last thing you want is Knight and Poulin, you know, doing the pregame scrums. Hey, what are you guys hearing about the league? Excited? Where are you going to play? Are you going to move? How does the draft work? How much money are you guys making? How do you know? Like, did you know about this?
Pregame scrums, though?
Yep. Did you know about this beforehand? Are you excited about the league? It's like, I got to go play for a silver, a gold, a bronze. Like, I'm still continuing my tournament. This isn't about this league. And all of the players that are part of this are a part of building the league. So they know, like, they're going to be fine, whatever it's next week or whenever they do announce it. I think it should stand alone. It deserves to stand alone. This is something they've been working on for 3 or 4 years, right? And before that, 10 or 15 years, right? So if they want to share the spotlight with the Women's World Championship, I think it kind of devalues all the hard work that the girls have been putting in behind the scenes, and they deserve their own opportunity to announce that hopefully within the next week or two, and then we can continue the conversation. We can, like, you know, have it stretch out for more than just the 2 weeks that we talk about it. So, yeah, Canada, it's a tough one. But you know what I will say, and maybe this is my homer spin, the Americans needed a win, right? They had just gone a silver in the Olympics and silver in the last World Championships. They got embarrassed in the rivalry series where they're up 3-0 and Canada came back and won 4 straight to win the rivalry series. That's a pretty long reign for Canada at the top.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that, yes, I'm happy the United States won, but you know what? The next World Championship.
That's the ultimate Ailish positive spin.
But it's true, Justin.
It's good that the United States
won. I just said, I'm not saying that it's good the United States. I literally just said that sentence. I'm just saying that if yes. we're moving forward, a little bit of fire under Canada's butt, mm-hmm. that you don't just get to roll through 5 championships in a row, maybe that brings the conversation of how do we rejig this team a bit? Are we looking for younger talent, et cetera?
But I think it's that. It's like, okay, it didn't work.
Yeah.
I'd rather that it didn't work at a Women's World Championship
than
Olympics, an Olympic
yeah.
Games. I think if you're like, you know, there's 4 World Champions for every Olympics, mm-hmm. I think it's just a little bit more important. I think you agree. And yeah, I said 2 years, it's actually 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if that team can last another 3-year cycle, right? Like, there's got to be another influx of talent, and hopefully this is a little push in that direction.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we got to get going a little bit. They made some changes that worked for them.
Definitely.
What changes can we make as a counterpunch?
And Canada did that after they had been in the slump of United States winning, won at the Pyeongchang Olympics, had won the previous World Championships. Canada did that same thing, a rejig. So it's mm-hmm. kind of like a chess game between these two teams. And the next World Championship announced to be in Utica, New York, just a pristine area in the New York state.
A little bit longer of a drive for you, but you could get there.
Oh,
you could
right
definitely
there.
Get to Utica. I said the Brampton of New York, but not quite. I think that'd probably be like Albany.
Well,
not that
the only reason I know
area.
About Utica, not well, obviously from playing hockey in up there, but Dunder Mifflin, Utica, probably the main sponsors of the tournament.
Dunder Mifflin, Utica.
See, you just need
I mean,
to
watch it's lost
office.
On me, but I know it was in Pennsylvania.
They have a branch.
Oh, they have a branch?
In Utica.
It's not just a solo shop. It's a,
no.
It's a franchise. Not
those that,
you, franchisee.
Those that watch will understand.
Okay.
One of the lower branches in the show.
Oh, Utica's the four branches, Utica?
So maybe they'll be there. Maybe they'll be sponsoring. But awesome, awesome environment. Congrats to Brampton for really showing up all tournament long. And I hope that we can get down to Utica, New York, and bring a rowdy crowd, because that was the best part of it as well, was like the crowds going back and forth. There's a tiny segment of USA fans, probably friends and family,
mm-hmm.
who would start USA, and they would get just that in. USA, and the entire crowd would then go, Canada, and drown them out. It was hilarious. They're just playing cheering games all night long, so vibes are great. Congrats to USA. And the bronze medalists, Chechia. See you at the next tournament.
There you go.
All right. Okay, so Women's World wraps up. Blue Jays weekend. So this was a big one coming into, watching the Tampa Bay Rays roll into town undefeated with the opportunity to claim an MLB record for consecutive wins to start a season. Jose Berríos was on the mound.
Yeah.
The pressure was there. Homestand, Friday, dome's been open. It's just beautiful in the city. And you got Jose Berríos on the mound waiting for a bounce back game. Story of the weekend is pitching for 2 good and 1 bad reason. And Jose Berríos came out and showed us that is the Jose Berríos that we want to see moving forward. The building blocks are continuing to get there. They break the Rays streak. Berríos on the mound. Confidence guy starts out with a really positive first inning, like 3 up, 3 down. I think he had 2 Ks, and the guy just builds on it. And that's what you want to see. I was really encouraged by Friday night's game, and then Saturday's game got even better with Kikuchi on the mound. And Kikuchi's stealing hearts when he's feeling it. He is fun to watch. He's got the fist pumps going. He's high-fiving himself. The guys out in the outfield are pointing at him. Like, man, you watch those two have their little, like, bounce back games, and you feel so confident about where this Blue Jays roster can go. And then, to wrap things up, I mean, we talked about it last week when Alec Manoa had his home opener start, and I talked about the big moment and how he had failed to deliver in three of the last three games that he played in, the three big moments. And then here we go, Sunday.
Another big moment.
Another big moment. You got your two aces on the mound, and the awful, awful first inning. Just kind of derailed, once again, his performance. And I think it's really time to have some uncomfortable conversations about Alec Manoa. And I'm not saying that we need to send him down to AAA or move him around the rotation, but I think the credit that we've been given to the guy as being like a fighter and a bulldog out there, like, we're seeing a lack of confidence and a lack of command, and he's certainly fighting something. So not saying that we need to, you know, tear Manoa apart, but we definitely need to try to understand, like, what is going on, because he is a guy that has what he needs to be an ace for this team, but we haven't seen it to start this season, and it's not a small enough sample size now that it's like, oh, he's still ramping up, right? You had most of spring training. Now you've had a couple starts, and we're not seeing the level of Alec Manoa that we need if this Blue Jays team wants to be World Series contenders.
Yeah, if you take away a weapon from Alec Manoa, all of a sudden he's he's a fierce competitor, a intimidating presence. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, if you take that weapon away, if you take one of his weapons away, he is highly, highly vulnerable and susceptible to being hit around. And we've seen this throughout the vast majority of the season. That's the first start that he has where the Blue Jays have lost, and it came at a poor time against the Tampa Bay Rays, like an opportunity. I think they could have made the single biggest statement with a series MLB-wide had they swept the Rays, the way the Rays came in. And that's a little anecdotal because I don't know exactly what's happening with every series around Major League Baseball, of course. But if a team is going on for a MLB record to start a season in terms of wins, and you just flat out sweep them with the bottom end of your rotation plus your starter going head-to-head against their best, that would have been an unbelievable statement for the Blue Jays to make, and it was still a very successful series. However, Alec Manoa could not finish the job, and I think it's as simple as, okay, you lost something within your arsenal, and that thing that you had last season, which completed your arsenal and was the extent of your weapons, if you lose that one weapon, all of a sudden it makes life so much easier on the opposition, because Manoa can't be that same guy because he's lost one of his weapons. The same thing would happen if you're Kevin Gausman. But if Kevin Gausman doesn't have one pitch working, he can lean on one of his other plus weapons to get that done. There's nothing that screams plus for Alec Manoa. He has to use all of his weapons to the best extent and pitch. And when one of those weapons isn't there and he can't fool anyone, they can just wait and wait on what they want, and they can punish Alec Manoa. And that's exactly what we saw. The tough first inning, the review costing him and making things really, really difficult, whether it's the fourth or fifth inning. Manoa continues to lack the polish that he had at times last year. And without that polish, he can't pitch. He can't work his way through starts because he's missing one of his weapons. And he's like, yeah, if you're without ammo on the war ground, you're in trouble. And that's kind of where Alec Manoa is right now, where he's just missing something and he can't overcome what he's lost, whatever that is.
I mean, it's not uncharacteristic for, I think it was Garrett Cole also had a tough start to his season last year, and he ends up being a pretty damn good pitcher. See what he's doing already.
Different
to start
track record, though.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. We often compare those two, though, right? Mm-hmm. Or he often compares himself. These guys go head-to-head. Hey, when's Alec Manoa's next start? This weekend at Yankee Stadium. So if you want to give him another big opportunity, you want to give him another big moment to prove that this isn't too big for him, nothing bigger than going to New York, pitching against a team that he loves coming into, where he also jaws it with the other guys. Hey, come past the Audi sign. Him and Garrett Cole going head-to-head. He's got a lot of quotes. Like, Alec Manoa is a walking quote machine about how big he sees these moments and how he grasps them and nothing phases him. Well, it has. Like, I mean, whether it's phasing him or he's just not performing, I don't know how you can kind of separate those at times. Your next start is another massive, massive game. So, I mean,
well, I think it's coming at the perfect time, honestly. What's going to get Alec Manoa's attention? I think a start at Yankee Stadium is going to get Alec Manoa's attention.
Was the home opener and the season opener not enough?
Well, okay. Yeah. I mean, again, it's hard to separate these things. But how big were these starts? Was like he totally fired up for the first game at home versus, I think it was the Detroit Tigers. Like, how do you compare that from the opener? How do you compare that to a chance to sweep up away the Tampa Bay Rays?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
big moments.
Is that even a factor, though? Does the moment even matter? Or have you lost something mechanically where it's like, yeah, I'm ready for this moment, but I just don't have it? And I think if it's, I just don't have it right now, which I think it is. I mean, the way that the opposition and opposing lineups are just like not even flinching at the slider, like that tells you something, that it's what he's throwing is not working. I don't think it's, yeah, he's so juiced up that he can't hit the strike zone or whatever. I think he's got something wrong with his delivery mechanics, whatever it is. Something is not working from his arsenal. Mm-hmm. But if something's going to get his attention in terms of we have to figure this out and we've got to get going, and maybe the adrenaline helps him, but I think what will get his attention more than anything is, I'm going to Yankee Stadium, and do I want to pitch the way I have the last four outings at Yankee Stadium this weekend? I think it's good that that this is coming up, because I think it's going to get his attention. And if it is just another big spot and the stage is what's frightening him, which I do not think is the case, then maybe we're going to get a repeat of the first four starts that we've had here for Manoa. But I think him going back into that highly pressured situation might be a good thing, where it gets the best out of him. But again, that remains to be seen. But he's not going to want to have another one of these starts at Yankee Stadium with Garrett
cackling in the opposing dugout.
Yeah.
And the way that he's talked the talk a lot against the Yankees, it's time to really deliver and walk the walk. And he's got that opportunity. And you mentioned it's a big spot, and hopefully it's got his attention. And all of these opportunities he's been put in have been big spots in my mind. And maybe it's just because I think there's a lot that goes into selecting who's going to be the start of your season and your rotation. And we talked about it. Maybe it should have been Kevin Gausman.
Because, in hindsight, it was a mistake.
Yeah. So rewrite that and say it wasn't a mistake. I can deliver in these big moments, because it hasn't been shown to have happened since the playoffs and now to start the season. So
I will say, I think the more important thing of the two is, like, I'm going to get the bite back on my slider. Like, mm-hmm. I need to pitch better. I really don't think that he was fazed by the Tampa Bay Rays on a Sunday afternoon at Rogers Center. I don't think that's, like, a part of it. I think he has lost something with his delivery, with his pitching sequence, with his arsenal, and he and Pete Walker have got to get in the lab and get it back.
I think it's a bit of both, but certainly more. The pitches are just not
and
there.
And the mental aspect, again, I don't think it's as much as, oh, it's Sunday afternoon. It's, I have been poor all season mm-hmm. long, and what is happening
to me? Well,
it starts
to build.
That's the mental thing.
Exactly.
It's like, what am I doing wrong? I cannot find it. And that's the thing that builds and builds and builds. And we've seen it with Berríos. We've mm-hmm. seen it with Kikuchi. Like, this is not a new story. It happens. And when are you going to get it back, and how are you going to get it back? That is priority one for Alek Manoah.
So two bright spots were Friday and Saturday. Pitching looked great. Huge opportunities for those guys to kind of scratch off the start of the season. Manoah will have that next time he's out. So let's keep building on that. Bo had an incredible weekend as well. Went 5-for-5 on Friday night with 5 hits. I think it was, yeah, he came the fastest Blue Jay, to reach 500 career hits.
Pretty impressive.
He's had a great start to the season. There's a lot of positives in terms of the offense with him. But yeah, the Blue Jays win the series, but don't get the sweep against the Rays. You put it best. It could have been a big statement weekend. I still think it is, but not as nice with the cherry on top to win 3 in a row.
Yeah, it could have been glorious. It could have been everything. And instead, it's just a really good weekend for the Blue Jays.
So they're back in action. They're on the road against the Houston Astros for the next 3 games. Those games start at 8, just a reminder, because they're in Houston. So 3 games in a row. Kevin Gausman on the mound tonight, and then we'll see Chris Bassett and Jose Berríos to wrap up the series. Then the Jays are back in New York for the weekend. They're not back home until the following week, so. And Looney Dogs will be that week.
Tough little stretch. Rays, Astros, Yankees.
And the Yankees have certainly earned a lot of respect around the league. They have a pretty great start. They've had 10 games on the road, then came home against the Tampa Bay Rays, who are the hottest team in baseball, won the series against them. They've got a lot of eyes on them, and they deserve it, because they've been proving themselves early on in the season. So we'll tee all that up. That's tonight, 8 p.m. on Sportsnet 1, Sportsnet Now, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and streaming on sportsnet.ca/590 and the Sportsnet app. 3-game series against the Houston Astros with Kevin Gausman on the mound. Blue Jays are 10-6. Astros are 7-9.
Yeah, tough start for Houston.
They're so washed.
They'll be hungry.
Are they washed?
Not lightning washed.
Anyway, so.
Don't tempt the gods.
Don't do it. All right, let's move on to the NHL because time to drop the puck on the postseason. Now, Leafs don't play till tomorrow, but there are some little Leafs nuggets to get through. Our guy, Toronto's guy, the city's guy, Matthew Nyes, has now brought his bags into the city for the long haul.
Yeah.
And he does not have a home. So Captain John Tavares has taken him in under his wing, given him his guest room and said, I got you, buddy. Come on in. You're going to stay with me. You're going to ride out this postseason just like a billet family.
Yeah, just like a billet family. I mean, this is the headline that gets Leaf fans excited for the postseason.
Oh, my God.
Like, what a captain we have. John Tavares, what a leader. He's putting up Matthew Nyes. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little cynical, but I'm like not like overly enthusiastic about it. Like other people seem to be like, yeah, okay, that's cool. He's got a nice house in Toronto and he's probably got a beautiful basement with a beautiful bed and Matthew Nyes will be very, very comfortable. I feel like it's not easy to be the NHL captain, but it's easy to play the PR game, right? Like really hand up.
Going the content play route.
It's content play. It's yeah. If I'm John Tavares, sure. I can a little goodwill. A little.
Does John Tavares even have social media?
No.
He's a guy that never logged onto an app in his life.
I'm sure it's out of the goodness of his heart mostly, but also are there things that I can do to prove that I'm a great captain? Yeah, I think that's one of them.
No, I think it's great, though. If we heard that Matthew Nyes was staying with William Nylander or
we do the exact same thing. What a teammate William Nylander is.
What a guy. You know, it's unexpected that he would do it. And he's not, you know, the big leader on the team, but he sees the value in bringing in a young guy. But yeah, it's your captain of the Maple Leafs. There's a kid coming out of college that doesn't have a place to stay. You're going to put him in a hotel? No, you're going to bring him in and help acclimate him to the team. And, you know, Tavares has some kids and it'll be cute and whatever.
Oh, yeah, they'll be best friends with Matthew Nyes and we'll have that story 5 years.
I love it. It's sweet.
Tavares' kids are good buddies with Nyes and you can do the Patrick Marleau thing all over again.
Oh, boy.
I'm just saying, like, it's whatever.
We got a clip on Matthew Nyes talking about Tavares and how the team has made him feel welcome since he came back from his NCAA season and joined the squad.
Yeah, I mean, I was excited. You know, I didn't really want to be stuck in a hotel, kind of in my own little bubble there. So I'm happy that he, you know, kind of opened up and welcomed me. And so I've enjoyed it. It's definitely made me feel a lot more comfortable in Toronto. And again, like, I'm super fortunate that he did that. You know, I think there's a lot of guys in here that were kind of open to it. You know, they were asking about it too, but John was the first one to do it. And you know, I think it's awesome that they bring in someone younger and just bring them a part of the team. It makes me feel, you know, way more welcomed, way more part of the family. And it's awesome to have them around.
I guess we kind of buried the most important Nyes tidbit.
His accommodation.
His lodging is probably less important than the fact that he appears to be not in the game one lineup for Sheldon Keefe and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Do you have any issue with that?
I think that's the way it should go. He was seen practicing in a gray jersey on yesterday's skate. I believe Wayne Simmonds also had gray jersey on, kind of doing some extras work. And that's how it works when you're looking at the playoff roster. The
on a
lines.
Different pad. That's kind of sucks when you're booted to the other pad. Like, there's not that many Leafs skating. It's not like training camp where there's two pads full of skaters. It's like, nah, Matthew Nyes and Wayne Simmonds are going to go hang out by themselves on the Marlies pad today.
Yeah, but I think that even though he got better with the three-game sample size that we saw last week when, you know, night one, he had barely even seen the players on his team and they were thrown in the lineup, whether he was supposed to or not, that he plays on a back-to-back, and then he gets an opportunity to wrap up his regular season career, which was three games. I still think that it'll be a trial and error and just kind of see how the first couple games go, then see if there's a spot for him. And I think it's best not to rush, but also to have him ready. And, you know, maybe we see him game two or three.
And I'm completely okay with Matthew Nyes coming in if need be. But, and we're going to go through this tomorrow. We're going to do, you know, keys to the series and what we need to see from the Leafs and what we maybe don't want to see from the Tampa Bay Lightning. So we'll break that down in full. But as I'm rewatching last year's series, I can't believe how much change there was from game to game. I think they have to be just firm with what they have. And what they have this year and what they built through the trade deadline and what they had before is a very, very good roster and balanced roster on paper, and there's no need to galaxy brain every single situation. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a little disappointed if we see one lineup in game one, a change even if they win, more changes if they lose. Like, it got a little out of control in the first three games of the series.
We've kind of seen that over the last 2 weeks, and we were saying that that was a reason why, because, hey, you had Ryan O'Reilly come back in the lineup. You had Matthew Nyes in the last three games. There's a couple injuries, and there's obviously a lot of load management. All of those reasons aside, I hope we got it out of the system, because I agree. It needs to have some stability, and you're not building chemistry anymore. You
trust
are building
you
a championship pathway. So you need to trust. You're right. You need to trust.
Yes.
Unless something just outrageous happens where there's just a line that is a disaster.
Exactly. But that I think you need more than one game to prove that. Alex Kerfoot last year went from the first line in game one, second line in game two, third line in game three. I'm like, there's got to be a little bit more consistency. Yeah. And I think that was the product of what they had. They were short. They weren't as good as they were last year, or they weren't as good last year as they are this year. They have achieved that balance, and they deserve stability. I think the lineup, we'll see what happens. And it doesn't mean, no, Nyes can't get in. But I think it has to be good reason rather than just like, you know, willy-nilly. We feel like this thing didn't work that great, so let's change everything. No, it can't operate that way. Stability, I think, is key.
And I think they've bolstered their lineup, and they deserve that opportunity because they've got a lot more real NHL-level competitors in this. Their bottom six are stronger. Like, I feel like there's a few weak points that you're going to have to tinker with, and obviously this could age poorly, but I feel a lot more confident with this Maple Leafs roster going into tomorrow night than last year with the comparison. But we'll continue to go through all this later in the show. We'll do our tarot card readings at 7:30. We'll do some bracket challenge, but one thing before we take a break, two people texted in about remembering that Sidney Crosby roomed with Mario when he started his
I don't think he ever left the basement, did he?
I think he still lives there.
Are we putting Nyes and Crosby on the same level?
Lemieux.
Are we putting Tavares and Lemieux on the same level?
So?
I mean, I think it's great. But like, it's just like, to get a positive headline written about you is not the hardest thing in the world if you're a Maple Leafs captain. We'll just say that.
Nyes, the new Crosby.
We shall see.
Okay. All right, so we teed up. We're going to do our tarot card readings in the A-list. Now we will let the fates decide when we pull a card. We'll tee it all up if you've never done tarot before from Amazon.ca.
Don't devalue it.
No, I mean, I didn't go to a specific, I don't know, like wizarding shop in the city to get these. But anyway, it was fun. Last time was right, though. We did this before the trade deadline for the Raptors, and it was like bit spooky.
It was. It seemed bang on. Again, I don't know. We haven't like reflected on what they said, but in the moment, it felt particularly on the nose.
So that's next. We'll do our Maple Leafs playoff tarot reading in the A-list.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Okay, so we've been waiting for the right time to use the tarot cards to assess the state of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we thought, you know what, we could do a pre-deadline, but we know that the last 5-6 months has really not meant anything. We've known this since day one of training camp. We've known that the playoffs is all that matters, honestly, for a couple years now. So we don't want to, you know, waste our time with the clairvoyance, the spirits.
You can't overdo it.
Yeah, we want to make sure that we're using our time with them wisely. And that's why we've waited for the first Toronto Maple Leafs tarot reading until now. So let's get that underway. I don't know if we have music for this. Do we have music for this? If we have some music, let's hear it.
Here it is.
Because you got to get the right state of mind, right? My mental state for this. So there's a couple things that we want to broach to the spirits. We want to ask about three things. We want to ask about Andrei Vasilevskiy. We want to ask about whether the core four is ready for this challenge. And of course, the future and what this postseason means for one Kyle Dubas. Let's start with Vasilevskiy, shall we? So it's been, and this is one thing that could give Leaf fans a lot of positivity and confidence heading into this. It's been his worst season as a full-time starter, albeit slightly. He slipped into a range where he's performing at, you know, top 10 level. as opposed to challenging for the Vezina Trophy, which he seems to be doing perennially. He's been on par, really, with Ilya Samsonov. So the question is, or the question demands, whether or not we should still be scared of this elite NHL goaltender. Ailish, you will pull the card. What are we asking the spirits exactly here?
I have the tarot cards in my hand. I've been connecting with them throughout the last hour. The question is whether Andrei Vasilevsky is still the boogeyman or not. I will split the deck and pull a card.
Very deliberate.
The six of clubs, Justin.
Six of clubs. Okay, the first question.
And it is upside down because this is important for tarot card readings.
So otherwise, six of clubs, otherwise known as the six of cups, and we are reversed. Stuck in the past, moving forward, leaving home, independence. The six of cups symbolize the joy of nostalgia.
Oh my God. The comfort
of home and childhood innocence. In this card itself, there are six cups filled with white flowers. Two children are depicted in the foreground, and one is passing a cup to the other. One can imagine it gives them a sense of security and comfort.
First thing you said was stuck in the past. That was the past of a prolific Andrei Vasilevsky. Is he stuck over the last three playoff runs? Or they won two cups? Are we looking at the old version of the boogeyman of Andrei Vasilevsky? That's how I read this card.
It can stand for you wanting to return to a happier time.
Andrei Vasilevsky was in the lead.
I'll be honest, I'm having trouble deciphering this one. Are we getting the Andrei Vasilevsky that has been dominant? Or are we longing, and are the Tampa Bay Lightning longing for the Andrei Vasilevsky of the past?
All we know is that, wait, does the upside down part factor into what you read? Because it usually does mean
the
something
upside
different.
Down, the first thing it says is stuck in the past.
I think that's positive for Leafs fans.
Stuck in the past, I think what we should get from it, and again, I hope the next two are clearer, because if it's just more questions. But if the Lightning are stuck in the past, it would point to them not having the same sort of outlook.
I think that's right.
Maybe Andrei Vasilevsky is washed. Thank you, clairvoyant.
Melissa just texted in, passing one cup to another, Tampa passing the cup to Toronto.
How do we miss that?
There you go.
Shows the passing of traditions and happy reunions. Those traditions, Stanley Cup traditions for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh my God, Leafs are going to win the cup.
Are they in the past?
All right, let's do the next one.
Okay,
so when
it comes to the Maple Leafs, and they can control what they can control. And what they can control, even if it's the past Andrei Vasilevsky, is that they're good enough to beat a Tampa Bay Lightning team with Andrei Vasilevsky playing at a high level. Each member of the Core Four has not posted a personal best this season, but this might be the best collective performance from the four in their time together in Toronto, with William Nylander and Mitch Marner specifically raising their levels. So will the stars overcome the scars?
Oh, wow. What a headline. All right, tarot cards, I have them in my hands. The question is, related to the Core Four specifically, has past failure adequately prepared the Maple Leafs for this challenge? I will split the deck. I will select a card. The Five of Hearts.
Five of Hearts. Also the Five of Cups.
I believe it is properly upwards.
It's upright. Well, this one is not as positive.
Oh, no.
Loss, grief, disappointment, sadness, mourning, discontent, the feeling
all
of
those words?
Let down.
Justin!
There are certain tarot cards whose imagery immediately conjure up negative emotions, and the Five of Cups carries such weight. This is a card which signifies loss as well as the painful challenges which stem from that particular loss.
This is horrible.
The card depicts a figure that is wearing a black cloak.
Oh my God. The person
hides his face in what seems to be despair. There are five cups on the ground, three of which have fallen, while the other two remain standing. The person, however, seemed to notice there are two standing cups, as is too busy mourning over those which are fallen. There is a powerful river which flows between him and a house or a castle in the distance, indicating that a torrent of emotions have separated him from home.
This is bad. Can we pull a different one? Justin, read that first sentence again.
The Five of Cups symbolizes disappointment and the feelings that come when things go differently as you expected. You are feeling unhappy that a certain situation hasn't really turned out the way you have hoped it would.
Oh my God, let's burn
this deck. The Five of
deck.
Cups is as
bad of a card as I think is in this deck, okay? Yeah,
that is not the
that
one.
That is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Instead of moving towards a more positive perspective, this card seems to say that you are dwelling in the past.
Oh my God, enough.
Inducing feelings of self-pity and regret. It gets worse.
Stop reading.
Should we move on to the third question?
Yes, I don't even want to break that one down because I'm pretty sure that it couldn't have got much worse. Okay, let's move on, please.
Okay, we have to ask about Kyle Dubas. We're going to ask Frank about Kyle Dubas, who is a clairvoyant himself
block. That was terrible.
But Kyle Dubas has put together the best roster of his career on paper in a season where his job was seemingly on the line. Will he be rewarded? Does he want to be rewarded? Will this postseason provide triumph or misery to the Maple Leafs general manager?
Well, by the way that last card went, I feel like
Let's hope there's conflicting information here. Although, maybe, we asked Frank. Okay. Maybe a loss isn't the worst thing for Kyle.
Okay. I have the deck in my hands. The question is, what does this postseason mean for Kyle Dubas? We'll split the deck. The Ten of Spades, and it is upright, Justin.
Ten of Spades, or the Ten of Swords in other tarot. You said upright?
Upright.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
Upright keywords for the Ten of Swords. Ruin, failure, bitterness, collapse, exhaustion, dead end, victimization, betrayal.
Oh, my God.
Another one of the most striking and ominous cards in the deck, the Ten of Swords shows a man lying flat on the ground with his face facing the dirt. He is covered with a red cloth from the chest down to his legs. 10 long swords are stabbed into his back. He may not have seen the end coming.
Stop.
This is a terrible stillness in the air. The sky above him is black and cloudy, indicating the fear and negativity associated with death. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
No, God, please, no. No.
The waters in front of him are still with no ripples, adding to the eerie stillness and finality of this card. Looking into the horizon in the east, the sun is rising and the weather seems very calm despite the darkness.
I'm dying.
The Ten of Swords seems to intimate that this is the lowest point of one's life and it cannot get worse than this, at least even in this state. The sun does rise. Ooh, that's an interesting little
tidbit at the end. Justin. I'm actually laughing so hard that I'm crying. This is terrible. Did you say there were swords in his back? And
his
face was down? He's dying.
The Ten of Swords indicate a major disaster of some sort.
The lowest point in one's life.
I think that last part is interesting,
though. But the sunrise
one. At least even in this state, the sun is rising. Does the sun rise in Pittsburgh? Every day it does.
Man, I don't know if this could have went worse.
This is a real referendum.
Honestly,
on the cards.
The people listening.
Can we break out of our state and just talk for a second?
I can't ever break out. I am one with the tarot cards now.
Okay, so
I feel sick. Thanks for that.
Andre Vasilevsky, still up in the air, whether it's the past or...
Well, clearly, when you listen now with the last two cards, he's going to be the best
card player
in the series. He's going to win the Conn Smythe. So
stuck in the past, meaning, I'm the best goaltender on the planet. Okay. We were kind of spinning that one the way we wanted to. Some real negativity when it comes to the Leafs and Kyle Dubas, at least in the spirit world. Thankfully, the game isn't played in the spirits or on a spreadsheet. Maple Leafs and Lightning will decide it themselves.
I think we ruined a lot of people's mornings. The text line is going through it. Oh, wow, that was a huge bummer. Ben in Oro. Scott in Beamsville, this tarot reading has hurt my soul. This is the greatest thing ever. LOL. Scott, Bruins fan. Get out of here. Burn the deck,
the
Steve.
Fans, the Bruins fans like that exercise, eh?
Burn the deck, Steve.
Whew.
Sounds like a Masters broadcast with the music and the whisper talking. And then my friend MJ says, this is literally hilarious. Currently putting $100 on Tampa to win. All right.
Okay, so a lot to consider, a lot more to consider now.
Goodness gracious. Let's go to break.
It didn't go particularly well.
I need to go walk this off. Let's see if Frank believes in anything that we just did. Maybe it's opposite day. Is it April 1st? Oh, it's not. That would have been nice.
It is April.
Okay. Well, sorry, everyone. Let's take a break. Frank Saravelli on the other side. Let's talk about that answer specifically to Kyle Dubas and what this postseason means, because he's got some tidbits on the Dubas-Shanahan relationship. That's next.